Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad you're here this morning. Is the Holy Spirit here with us?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Are you guys going to be lively today, or are you going to be duds? I'm just asking. You going to be lively?
Yes.
All right, man. Well, glad everyone is here. I wanted to mention our youth. They got us covered. They put out the registration pads for us. Thank you, youth. And if you would register your attendance with us, that'd be great. Let us know you were here. We have the Wiley Methodist app, where if you want to register in that way, you can do that. And as Kitten mentioned, you can donate to the shoebox and other ways there through that app as well. Lots of different things in the Wiley Methodist app. If you are our guest today, we are especially glad that you are here. Hope you feel the love of God's people, and I hope you feel the presence of His Spirit. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you, like so. It's got a blue stripe that says guest. Would love to you to fill that out, and you don't have to do that, but if you do, I'd love to meet you. I'll be at the end of the foyer at the end of the service. Would love you to bring that card, and I'd love to meet you, have a free gift for you, and or you can just leave it there in your seat. If you will turn with me to Hebrews. You didn't know God was in the coffee business, didn't you? Hebrews, did you know it? Boo hiss. See, why you liven up when I tell a bad joke? What's the deal? Man, somebody said something tacky back there. I don't even want to hear it. Talk to the hand. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most high place. Notice that's capitalized, at least in my version. Well, the holy's capitalized too, isn't it? You have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, and by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. We have invited You, and our hearts are open to You. We ask You now, Holy Spirit, to speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I've said before this process, now, but I've looked into it a little bit further, this process of refining silver. In the way I've described that before, and the way that I've read about this, the silversmith, the way they refine the silver is they heat it up, and impurities float to the surface, and they scrape off the impurities, and then they heat it up more, and they scrape off more impurities, and they keep this process going. Does anybody know how they know when the process is complete? Two things. Nothing floats to the surface. That's the first thing. And secondly, I've just found this out, that the silversmith looks in the silver and sees his own reflection. So, in other words, it's like a mirror. Today I continue the sermon series, How to Recognize Spiritual Growth in You. How to Recognize Spiritual Growth in You. Today's message is, You Long to grow in Christ. You long to grow in Christ. You know, now, I'm going to try to say this in a way that doesn't hurt anybody's feelings. I don't know where we all are in our journey, but this, I was thinking about this as I was preparing for today's message. And what came to me is there's nothing sadder than a baby Christian that has been saved for years and years and years. I mean, that's a sad thing. That's a sad thing. There's this, it's like the silver. Our silversmith, God Himself, is refining us. He's making us into His own image. And we have to do some things that assists in that. And I've said this before, but it's like He's this, it says in the Scripture that we are His workmanship, we are His masterpiece, and it's like He has this workbench, and He's not going to strap us down to the workbench. We have to lay ourselves on His bench and allow Him to refine us, allow Him. And I just envision, I don't know about you, but for me, it's almost like there's just big chunks of stuff that's not good stuff. And He's got a hammer and a chisel, and He's chipping off that stuff in me that's not of Him. He's not going to strap us to His table. He loves us enough to allow us to surrender to Him. So I'm going to jump right in. This scripture, there's a lot I want to try to unpack in this scripture today as we talk about this idea of spiritual growth. We will grow in Christ, first of all, we will grow in Christ when we realize who we are and who Christ is. I've said it all along that you can't share something you don't have. If we don't understand who Christ is, if we don't understand who He says we are, then we don't have anything to share. Listen to this passage that we just read. Verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus and by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God. So what the writer of Hebrews is saying here, most of you kind of know a little bit of the history of the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. God instructed Solomon actually to build this temple, and there was this area in the back of the temple known as the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, where there was a curtain that separated that, and the Ark of the Covenant and some other items were in this holy place, and no one was allowed to go in there except the high priest once a year. Now, there was all sorts of things that had to happen. He would bathe himself, and then he would get the sacrificed blood of a bull and a male goat, and he would go, and this is kind of odd stuff here, but stick with me. So he would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would sprinkle the bull's blood to make atonement for him and his family, and then he would sprinkle the goat's blood on the Ark of the Covenant to atone for the people's sin. And so there was this curtain dividing this area that no one was allowed to go to, as I said, except the priest once a year. Now, we jump forward to Christ's time. When Christ is hanging on the cross, we read here in Matthew 27, I think it's in your notes there, and when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, He gave up His spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. What God was telling us through that torn curtain is, Jesus is now your high priest, and I have made through the blood of Jesus, I have now given you access into the Holy of Holies. And in fact, the temple of God will now, He will reside, God Himself will reside in us. We are now the temple. So if we don't understand that Christ gave way to us to have perfect access with the Father, and if we don't understand that He's given us that access as believers, if we don't get that, then we don't get anything. We can't grow in Christ until we understand who we are and who Christ is. And then later in John 14, we read, Jesus says these words, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. You know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." So no longer did we were we reliant upon this high priest to go in and make preparation for us with the blood of the sacrifice to this. Now we have the blood of Jesus, and the temple curtain is torn, and we, through the blood of Jesus, now have access to the Father. Shake your head if you're staying with me. All right. So we must understand, if we want to grow in Christ, we must understand who he is and who we are. Secondly, we will grow in Christ if we draw near to God. I should have worn it today. I've got a lot of lettuces in here. I've got a shirt. I'm kind of goofy anyway. I've got a shirt that has a couple of heads of lettuce on it. It says, "Let us pray." I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm drawn to stuff like that. I don't know. But I am. I started to wear it today, but I thought, no, that's too much. That's too much. So a lot of lettuces in here. In chapter 10, verse 22, it says, "Let us," but remember, before that it says, "Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus." So since we have this, let us, there's something that's kind of like therefore, "let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled," what did I just describe about the high priest, "with the sacrificial blood," sprinkling the blood on the Ark of the Covenant to make atonement for the people's sins. But now, through Christ, our hearts have been sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and remember I talked about the high priest being washing himself in preparation to go into the Holy of Holies, and having our bodies washed with pure water. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." So we must, I say it this way a lot, we must, if we want to grow, we must press in to Christ. We must press in. So it's, God is doing the growth in us, but we must place ourselves on his workbench. We must allow ourselves, there must be this surrender, this intentionality to that growth and development, that refining that Christ is wanting to do in us. If we do that, we begin this process of growing. Thirdly, we will grow in Christ if we stay connected to other Christians. Now this... I'm just going to kind of get real with you today. Anybody, y'all up for that? It's hard on, I know this is an area that God's still working on me. It's hard for me if people start missing church. Here's my first thought. What have I done? That's my first thought. What have I done? Have I hurt their feelings? It's common with people in ministry. I've talked to a lot of pastors and people in ministry, and that's a pretty common thing. But let's look at the word here, and then I'll talk some more about that. But verse 24, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some in their habit of doing." So I'm encouraged by that, because 2,000 years ago they were having trouble then too. 2,000 years ago, I'm sure that people were telling the disciples, "I don't need to come and be hang out with you guys. I don't need to study the Word and praise God together. I've got it in my heart." I hear that a lot. I can be a Christian and not go to church. Yeah, but yes, you can. But God has created us for relationship. We are stronger together than we are alone. And they call it, in Scripture calls it, the body of Christ. And it talks about each one of us are a part. One's a finger, one's a nose. And, you know, some of y'all, I've got other areas that I could mention, but I won't. I'm just kidding. It's just a joke. But the body of Christ, it talks about us, you know, that each part has a function. And so we're built as Christians. We're built for unity. We're built for relationship. And we aren't built to stand alone. And again, I'm encouraged that they were struggling with this. This author of Hebrews knew, but let us not give up meeting together, as some are in their habit of doing. And so I've seen it. I've seen people get on fire for the Lord, and I've seen them be really, really dedicated to being a part of a fellowship and going to church and praising and, man, being in the Word and all that. And then it's like you don't see that person for a while. And next thing you hear, something's up. Either, you know, they're getting a divorce or they've lost their job or he's, you know, on drugs or this or that. I mean, it's usually not good stuff. We need one another. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Let us spur one another on. I read this story about a pastor. I don't know if it's a true story, but it's good either way. A pastor went to see a member who had been missing from church for several months, and he went to make a visit, and the person greeted him, and they exchanged some pleasantries, and it was a cold night, and the person had a fire going, and they went in, and the pastor and this gentleman sat by the fire. And the pastor just sat down, and he just stared into the fire, and there was silence. For several minutes, there was just silence. And finally, the pastor got up, and he went over, and he took the tongs, the fireplace tongs, and he took a piece of the ember, one of the burning, bright, orange, red embers. He took it out, and he set it on the mantle. And then he just went and sat back down. And for a moment, the ember remained hot, and over a period of time, it got colder and colder and colder. Never said a word. And then he went back over, and he got the same tongs, and he grabbed the ember again. It was now cool. He took the ember, he placed it back in the fire, and within just a few seconds, it was glowing bright again. Never said a word and excused himself and said that he probably needed to be leaving. And as he left, the man said, "Thanks for the visit, Pastor, and thanks for the sermon." And we're not designed to do it alone. I don't know about you, but I know I need you. I don't know if you need me, but I need you. And man, I just think about sometimes when people are going through difficult things and they don't have the body of Christ to surround them. I don't know how people make it. I honestly don't know how people make it through life when stuff happens without the church, without fellow Christians. Ephesians, Apostle Paul says it this way, it was he, speaking of Jesus, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, listen to this, so that the body of Christ, there it is, may be built up. He's equipped us to be built up by one another until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature. There's this ongoing process of maturity that God is doing in each of us, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And there it is, attaining this measure of the fullness of Christ. When Christ can look at the silver and he sees his own reflection. When he looks at us and he begins to see more Jesus than our sin. Sin being rooted out in us. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves. Anybody know any spiritual infants? any of us spiritual infants? Tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, listen to this now, we will all in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. God has, through the blood of Christ, He has torn the curtain open. We have now perfect access with our Heavenly Father. We no longer need a priest on our behalf to go in once a year and make atonement for our sin. No, we have the great high priest, Jesus Himself, who through His own blood has sprinkled us and cleansed us. We have perfect and complete access to the Father. Therefore, we can draw near to God, and He wants us to stay connected to one another. So how are we doing, church? How are we doing with that? Yeah? Yeah. Y'all may not have heard that. Somebody said, we're here. So is this the definition of preaching to the choir? Is that what that is? Well, man, I tell you, it breaks my heart. Not because, you know, hey, man, our numbers are down or they're up or they're this or that. But it just breaks my heart because I've seen it in so many lives, man, when we're pressing into God. It's like, man, even if life is throwing us curves, it's like, man, you can just see it. We're blessed and there's a peace and man, there's joy even in the midst of difficult circumstances. But then some more realness. Man, one of the things that the enemy, one of his greatest weapons against us is busyness. I'll try to say this without, I don't want to say it where anybody can figure out who I'm talking about, but there was an organization that was having football games on Wednesday nights, okay? This was a Christian organization, and I know some of you may even be in that, and I'm not heaping condemnation on you, I promise. But I found out there were some families I knew that couldn't come to Wednesday night, you know, community groups and fellowship and Bible study and so forth, because this Christian football league, which I'm a sports guy, okay? I'm not an anti-sports guy at all. This sports league was having games on Wednesday night, and I thought, and I just found out last week, and I thought, man, what? What? It's not a secular thing, it's a Christian thing. And so I knew the director of this particular league, and so I called him and I said, hey man, tell me about your Wednesday night football league. And they knew where I was going with it, and it was not a confrontation, it was a great conversation. I love this guy. But he said, well, we're sharing the gospel with these kids and we're reaching out to them. I said, yeah, but you're competing with the church. You're supposed to lift up the church. You're not supposed to compete with the church. What about another night? Well, all the fields are taken on other nights. And I said, well, here's the way I said, put me down for a no. just put me down for a no that I'm against it. But, I mean, it is what it is. But go ahead and mark me down on the no side. And you know, I'm not trying to sound like an old guy, an old dude, but I am. But anyway, but when I was younger, it's like Wednesday night and Sundays were just off limits for everything. You remember the blue law? Anybody remember the blue law? It's like Wednesday nights and Sundays, it's like, man, you know, even the schools, you know, they'd pass out less homework on Wednesday night, and there's no leagues, no travel leagues, no special this or that. It's on Sunday or Wednesday. And, man, we're just, did you know Satan loves that? He loves those leagues that happen on Sunday. He loves them because he's taking us out of fellowship with one another. Let us God's word says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. We need each other. I don't know what the answer is. I think it's just the culture. I was talking to a pastor about this a few months ago. I guess whining is more of an appropriate word. But he said, well, you know, it's the culture we live in, and I guess we just got to adapt. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess we do, but I don't have to like it. And I don't think it's good. I don't think it's healthy for us as a people, as a church. So I hope some folks are being convicted. I know my daddy wouldn't have done it. I'm just telling you, if Jay and I had come home and said, we're going to be in the football league on Wednesday nights, daddy said, I don't think so. I mean, that's what he would have said. Yeah, Mom? It wouldn't have been none of that. Man, we need each other. We need to just long to have a passion and press in for Christ. Let's bow our heads. Father, I want you to help me to see this, all of this, the way you would see it, the way you would have me see it. Father, help us as your people to not reflect the culture, but to reflect you. Show us how to do that in the culture. We have to live, we're living right here in it, Lord. But you are our great high priest. You, through your blood, we have direct access to the Father. Show us how to walk that out. Give us a heart where nothing else satisfies, Jesus, except you. Where we just yearn for you. We long for you. Everything else comes second to that. Show us how, Lord. Give us a passion. In Jesus' name, amen.